Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No. There may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants to buy some for yourselves." Well, they went off to buy it. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterward, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings and feast focus on foolishness and wisdom. The Gospel, Jesus contrasts the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. Today's first reading, St. Paul talks about how God destroys the wisdom of the wise and the learning of the learned, that he's made the wisdom of the world foolish, that the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And that what was looked at by the Jews as a scandal and the Greeks as idiocy has become the power and the wisdom of God, Christ on the cross. And as you pay very close attention in the collect of this Mass, what we're asking God today at this Mass in the Feast of St. Augustine is that filled with the same spirit with which he was filled, we may thirst for wisdom, of whom God is the fount. So today we have to figure out what God is telling us in sacred scripture and in the life of St. Augustine about this true wisdom, about foolishness. I read this morning St. Augustine's commentary on this parable, which is pretty long. What's his take? The difference between the prudent and the imprudent virgins was not that they were virgins. They were all virgins. Meaning they fought against sin, they tried to live a virtuous life. It wasn't, he said, that some had lamps and the other didn't. They all had lamps. And the lamps were burning. It wasn't that some fell asleep and the other didn't. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. It was that some brought flasks of oil and the others didn't. He asked, "What are the flasks of oil?" He said, the lamps, before we get to the flasks, as well as the virginity, there are 2 different types of motivation with which those could be done. Could be done, he said, ultimately for God, or it could be done to win the esteem of others. It could be out of love, or it could be out of some other motivation, being considered virtuous. He said, when you look at the lamps, what are the lamps? Lamps give off light, and the light are good deeds. But are the good deeds flowing out of love for God, or just for themselves, or for some other motivation? To win honor, to impress people. St. Augustine said that the flasks of oil show, and like the flasks of oil filled with the oil that comes from God, because we can't make our own oil. God gives the olive. That is a real sign of the deep motivation and the longing always to burn out of love for God. Not just as a functional reality, but as a deep existential proclamation that we are given over to God. And he said the difference between the prudent and the imprudent virgins was that the prudent virgins were always seeking to burn for God even while they were asleep. They wanted that love to distinguish them long term, not just short term. But they wanted to be ready at every moment. The punchline of this parable is in the last verse. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Even when the prudent virgins were drowsy and had fallen asleep, they were still very much awake with that love of the Lord, which is what that extra flask of oil symbolizes. In the first reading, we see what God's real wisdom is. And it's so much different than worldly wisdom. St. Augustine sought worldly wisdom, became a Manichaean, tried to learn the art of rhetoric, really the art of persuasion, which is based on, frankly, not just learning, but psychology, which is why his Confessions is considered the first and one of the greatest psychological tomes of all time, because he understood others so well that he could understand himself so well. He sought wisdom there and was accounted one of the wisest of his age, one of the greatest orators alive. But God crushed that earthly wisdom and showed him how foolish it was. Eventually, when St. Augustine met St. Ambrose, he saw a different font. As we pray in the breviary today, in that last paragraph of that the Church chooses among so many from St. Augustine, it chooses, I think, the most eloquent paragraph probably ever written, where he began to recognize that God's wisdom had surrounded him, but he didn't see it, he didn't hear it, he didn't pant for it. But once he got the taste of it, he was willing to trade everything in. And he was so grateful for the way the Lord's shouting pierced his deafness. The Lord's light shattered the darkness. The way the Lord's fragrance made him pant for more. That's what we prayed for in the opening prayer, that we might pant for that same font of wisdom. And that font of wisdom, it's not two pieces of perpendicular wood. That font is the love of God hammered to the wood. It was a stumbling block for the Jews, a scandal, because they thought the Messiah was going to come and kick out the Romans. He was going to be a WWE professional wrestling champion, banging centurions' heads together and making everybody see who's the real boss man. That wasn't his way. And when he first announced his way at Caesarea Philippi, we saw the reaction of the one who had just become the rock. God forbid it, Lord, that the Messiah and the Son of God would be handed over to those who would mock him, spit upon him, crucify him, and kill him. didn't make any sense. It was a true scandal. This was totally contrary to all their messianic hopes. But God was showing his real power then, shining through human weakness. That's why he always chooses the weak to make them strong. We also see the wisdom of God there. The wisdom of the way by which love is shown in all its depths. So he went there out of love for us, suffering the most ignominious death possible to show us just how much we were worth saving. St. Augustine grasped this in his second conversion. I don't think that we've ever had St. Augustine's feast day, and I don't think I've mentioned this, but if I repeat something that I've said before, the ancient aphorism is repetitio mater studiorum. Repetition is the mother of all learning. St. Augustine's first conversion is the famous one in which there was an alarm clock who went off when he was in the backyard and he heard the Toliat Legere pick up and read. And he picked up sacred scripture and turned to Romans 13 and there found, don't continue in drunkenness and drowsiness, but it's time for you to wake up for these deeds. To be like a wise virgin, burning out of love for the Lord. And he started there to live in that light and to burn with love for the Lord. The second phase of his conversion was a time in which he began to appropriate the real meaning of the power and wisdom God shows us from Calvary. He had gone to visit a friend in Hippo, this small little out-of-the-way place. And he went to Mass on the Sunday. And the elderly bishop, who was losing his voice, begged the people to pray that God might send someone who could preach because he no longer had the strength. And everybody turned around and said, that's Aurelius Augustinus. Let's get him. And he resisted. He was living in a monastery that he had founded, that he had written the rule for. How sweet is that, sisters, if you could write the rule by which all the other sisters had to live. Augustine had. He was producing these incredible tomes of theology. Everything was humming. And now he was being asked to leave that behind and to start to care for all the widows' problems, to start to care for all the poor's problems, to start to have to deal with the government, do lots of other things as a bishop in Hippo in the early 400s would have to do. And it really troubled him. He absolutely didn't want to do it. But he began to ponder 2 Corinthians 5. Christ suffered for us. We can no longer live for ourselves, but for him who lived and died out of love for us. He recognized that he needed to live wisely. And to live wisely would be to live in a cruciform way, giving of himself for others the same way Christ had given himself for Augustine and us. That real wisdom is not just known, but enfleshed. So he accepted the charge, and his teaching was no longer in big scholarly volumes, but it was in homilies that everybody could understand. It was in letters that he would be writing in response to letters he himself had received. And that's his greatest legacy that has continued to influence the church over the course of time. Sure, we have his confessions, which lead people to conversion. We have a city of God that helps us to understand the relationship between giving to God and giving to Caesar and the competitive two realms. But 40% of what St. Augustine wrote was a commentary on the Psalms. We've got his commentary on the Gospel of St. John and commentary on so many things that came from his pastoral circumstances. and God drew out the wisdom with which he had filled Augustine's flask, who his pastoral work so much more effectively than if he had remained in his monastery. But that wasn't the end of his conversion. That came very late in life. As he was looking back over his entire corpus, he started to write his retractions. Like anybody, he was learning over the course of his entire Christian discipleship. And he recognized that some of his first stabs were slightly off. And he had the humility to correct them. One of the most famous corrections was about his treatise on the Beatitudes, which remains the most famous treatise on the Beatitudes ever written. And he said that in his treatise, he focused too much on what we need to do to be poor in spirit and meek and peacemaking and hunger and thirst for holiness and pure of heart and faithful under trial. He said, what I got wrong was we're not able to do any of that unless God's mercy precedes. That everything flows from God's mercy, which comes from the cross. So St. Augustine, over the last part of his life, tried to live by God alone, like Mary at the foot of Jesus, rather than a super productive Martha trying to serve the Lord by her own wits. And that's Augustine's greatest legacy. That the real wisdom is to live by God's mercy. Always. God every day comes to fill not just our lamps, but 6 30-gallon water jars full of oil. So that we can always burn out of love for him. Not just early in the day when we're in chapel, but in a special way, in the way we turn away from sin because of our love for God, turn away from ourselves toward others out of love for God, and open ourselves to the love of God that always precedes. Today we come to this Mass like wise virgins, to meet the beauty ever ancient, ever new, who speaks to us to heal our deafness, who illumines us to heal our blindness, and who pants for us so that we might pant in return.